My dearest friend, I have no need to write this, but for posterity I am. I have enjoyed the exercise and will no doubt continue to write upon my return. I am sat in the foyer of a large transportation tower, awaiting my shuttle to leave. More than enough time to tell you finally of how I ended matters with my two tiny friends. Yes, friends. How odd that I describe them that way. Animals, yes, primitive and savage, but sweet and gentle too. Some time after I had sent my previous letter, the two humans entered into a heat cycle. I was quite taken aback, following a trail of fluid to the two of them fucking like jabbits on the floor. As much as I tried to feed them, they simply would not be satiated, so I resolved that I must help and carried them both to my cot. I laid them both out. Malak was coy and knew what was coming, almost willing it with his eyes. Brute looked immobilized by the condition and lay there looking angrily to the sky. I have no doubt that this heat cycle was new to him. They don't occur unless their diet consists of our pheromone-laden ejaculate. Poor brute. He didn't know what was coming. I decided to start with him, the most difficult of the two, and while he protested at first, Malak gently lay on his chest and uttered soothing words to him. With a hand, I picked up his legs, exposing a pair of muscular glutes and a seeping wet hole. I could see the panic in his eyes as I lined my cock with his entrance, but his moans quickly turned to cries of passion as his body opened to accommodate. His frame was so small that his stomach bulged outwards as I penetrated, and sweet Malak switched around to kiss and caress his torso and belly as he was fucked. The sensation was unlike anything I'd ever felt. Tight and wet. How I longed to pick him up and slide him all the way down. But I didn't, out of fear I would harm him. Soon he was spurting his own fluid. His sizable cock, for his stature, was rigid and proud, and Malak greedily ate from his stomach and chest hair, before quickly getting down on hands and knees and proffering his own weeping hole. I was harder with Malak. I trusted that he would communicate if I went too hard. I entered him far more smoothly, and Brute offered his own cock for Malak to suck, while he was stretched around my rod. I will think about that night for as long as I am living, I'm certain. The two little men slept on my chest that night, coupled closely together, my hands a blanket covering both. Their heat cycles lasted for several days, but eventually subsided, which I was thankful for. Though I am not yet ancient, their constant need to be penetrated several times a day did take its toll. I believe my research suffered because of it. But it was worth the effort. Their pliable little bodies feel intensely pleasurable, and even Brute came to longingly request it after a time. Fast forward to my eventual leaving. I had resolved, after careful consideration, to leave them there. They understood what was happening when I was packing and dismantling the domicile we had spent so long together in. Malak became incredibly needy of my time and attention, and Brute watched on with a grim look. When the entire settlement was packed away and loaded onto my transport, I do not know what possessed me, but as they stood in front of me holding each other's hands, I turned, dropped to my knees, and performed as low a bow as possible. This isn't customary of any culture I'm aware of, but I couldn't think of anything else to do. When I looked up, they were doing the same. A sign of mutual understanding. What a wonderful, wonderful species. I sat in my transport, not wishing to look back, and began my journey to civilization with the heaviest heart I have ever felt. Imagine my surprise, my friend, when upon my arrival to the transportation tower and loading my possessions to a carryover vehicle for loading, but the sound of two tiny voices coming from one of my suitcases. As I opened it, there, to my shock and anger and joy all together, were Brute and Malak, their little faces staring up at me. Malak looked sheepish, while Brute wore a smirk quite unlike anything I'd ever seen from him before. They had known I was leaving, and had resolved, quite without my say-so, to leave with me. And how could I deny them? As I write this now, they are asleep in a carry-on case beside me, their bellies full of my seed, thanks to a humble human feeding pod. The cost of paying for their accompaniment was steep, but I cannot grumble. They are worth far more than that. In them I see a bright future. I will need to make considerable adjustment to my home upon my return, though I know each will find solace and comfort in the various locations throughout. They will have my grounds to explore, my conservatory filled with wild plants to feel at home in, and, of course, my constant companionship to tend to their every need. I hope this story has not bored you, my dear friend. I'm so looking forward to seeing you again, and for you to meet them when the time is right. They have proven quite popular as I carried them through the tower. They are remarkably cute, as one handsome stranger put it. I'll admit that I have held on to the case tighter, knowing how appealing they appear to others. I cannot wait to return home and build a new life for myself and them. Until we meet, warmest regards, Dr. Goff Hart.